Well, coming up this weekend, the folks at the Old Atlantic Armory, the American Legion Memorial Building, will be hosting yet another presentation. Arise and the Atlantic Community Promotion Commission, and along with Humanities Iowa, will be presenting a program called From the Battlefront to the Homefront, Iowa Broadcasters Go to War. Jeff Stein is an author, historian, documentary producer, and he's a radio guy in his blood, too, and he's going to be presenting this effort coming up here this weekend, and we look forward to hearing some fun stories from some folks who brought some stories back from overseas. Jeff, how are you today?
I am well, Jim. What a privilege to be with you on KJAN. I've had great respect for the work you folks do for a long time, so I'm really looking forward to coming to Atlantic on Sunday.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Well, you know, digging into the archives as far as broadcasting goes is nothing new for you, right?
I have loved broadcasting since I was quite young, and I had the experience over about a 15-year period to work intensively with some of the treasured memories of Iowa broadcasting, preserving some of these old broadcasts, doing interviews with historic broadcasters. That led to doing a book, that led to another book, and it led to producing this documentary for Humanities Iowa. And it came about simply because the head of Humanities Iowa at the time, and we're going back now about 10 years, asked me what projects I was working on when I had just stopped by to say hello to his office in Iowa City one day. And I said, well, I don't have anything right now, but I would love to have the time to really get into some of these historic broadcasts that we had on platters, like an LP record, but they were a little bigger than what we're used to playing on a turntable, for those who know that. And I said, I'd love to get into some of these historic broadcasts. And we talked a bit. He thought it sounded a good idea. And pretty soon, here came a 90-minute documentary of radio and television as presented by Iowans from the Second World War to the First Gulf War, a 50-year period.
It was kind of a unique time in broadcasting. We were not new at that point, but we were still kind of feeling our way around as far as bringing some of those things home. We weren't so much into the network thing like we are today, where we let others be able to bring that stuff back. A lot of broadcasters from here in Iowa were sent overseas and not only brought the big stories back, but personalized them and localized them as well. It's really a unique experience.
It truly is, and that's such a key point to the story, that broadcasting at the time of the Second World War had been around for 20, 25 years, so it had matured a bit as an industry, but it had not covered a big story like this. And so there were some Iowa broadcast journalists who got accreditation to be war correspondents. They did cover some of the day-to-day big battles, but that was still left for the major wire services and newspapers and broadcast networks. What those Iowa broadcasters did, Jim, was to tell the stories of the hometown boys. And they literally would go from camp to camp. And I'm talking about broadcasters legendary like Jack Shelley and Herb Plambeck. They would go from place to place and write down the names of Iowa or Midwestern boys that they saw. And then they'd report back on the radio that night, via shortwave, via transatlantic cable, back to Iowa, and they would say, I saw Jim Field from Atlantic today. I saw Jeff Stein from Toledo today. And can you imagine in a time when you would send your boy off to war and you wouldn't hear from them for months at a time, to actually know that as of that moment, your son, your husband, your brother was still alive? What a service to be provided by those Iowa broadcasters.
It must have had quite an impact back here on the home front.
It absolutely did. And I'm struck by a story that I wound up learning after we had collected some of this material. A fellow in Ames reached out and said, I was part of one of these broadcasts. Very rarely were you able to hear the voice of a GI, because they did not have tape equipment. You were using something called a wire recorder, and those were notorious for being rather finicky. In any event, this young man was able, right after VE Day, to be one of a couple of dozen young men who were able to put their voices on a wire recording, and Herb Plambeck sent it back to Des Moines. And this young GI's mother in West Central Iowa heard him wish her a happy Mother's Day on the radio. Can you imagine anything better than that? And we found the recording. We played it for him a half century later. And it was just amazing because he had not heard it, obviously, since he was part of the broadcast. His wife heard the voice of the man she fell in love with 50 years before, because obviously he was a young boy at the time. And their daughter heard her father in a vocal tone she'd never heard before and remarked afterwards it sounded like her son. So, I mean, again, what we can do in broadcasting and what they did with limited tools is it just bears benefit and fruit generations later.
Jeff, will you use some of these audio clips as part of your presentation?
What's the best part of this presentation, Jim, is that I don't speak very much at all. I will play these legendary clips. Some of them had not been heard since the original time. Once we resurrected them for this project, it was the first time that many had been heard in decades, if not 40, 50 years. But on top of that, we have interviews with these legendary broadcasters telling their own story. Now, they are quick to point out their work failed in comparison with those who were fighting. But they went through some hardship, too, just to get the story out. And so, really, this is a piece where you're going to hear from the men who actually did the reporting and hear their vintage clips. And I'm just the disc jockey and happy to do it.
Yeah, so many times we saw some of these local broadcasters from the state of Iowa, they head overseas like this, and as you document, they don't know what they're getting into either, and they're not necessarily always as protected as people like to think they are. They might be in the line of fire at times and never know how they're going to be able to transmit back and be able to do some of the things that they do while they're looking out for their own safety. It was not easy work.
It was not, and they had to go through sensors, military sensors. Jack Shelley told the story of having an old typewriter that he balanced on his lap, tapping out a script in a tent that was near a shortwave transmission base. So this was hardly glamorous life, not at all like what may be romantically portrayed, but it was just so vital to tell the story of the Midwest to that home audience. They really did not care as much about big troop movements. Yes, they cared about it, but they cared about their own individuals who were at war.
Well, and trying to bring home stories, but sometimes the stories aren't always great stories either.
No, I mean, and that takes some real finesse. There is a clip of Jack Shelley having just followed the Battle of the Bulge. So he was able to tell the story of what he saw in the aftermath. It is graphic, but he said it, he wrote it in such a way that it made greater impact. For example, he would talk about the juxtaposition of war with these gently rolling hills, snow-covered. And instead of saying that he saw the aftermath of a bloody battle, he would talk about the snow on the hill and a red stain. And then he would say, there's only one way that stain got there. He didn't have to tell you. You knew it, and therefore it had deep impact, but it also did not have, Jim, the shock value that he could have used, that some would have used, and it just shows his masterful use of language for full impact.
Jeff, what kind of feedback do you get when you put these presentations on locally?
Folks who are of a certain age, and I'm talking about people who may remember the war as a small child. They remember parts of this. Maybe they're a little younger, and they remember the later day broadcasts of some of these individuals. And by design, we're going to focus in Atlantic on Sunday on the World War II vintage, because we're at that 75-year anniversary point of so many things. They are amazed at what it took to get the signal, and to your earlier point, what it took to get a broadcast there, because in today's world, we just fire up a phone, right? I mean, we can speak to anyone, anywhere, and we are so connected, we really take it for granted, and I think they truly appreciate what it took to get the most basic story back home.
Mm-hmm. What do you hope people take away from these presentations?
I would love for them to have a greater sense of what ancestors went through. For example, my late father was a World War II veteran. He would have turned 100 this year. So we are generations removed from all of this. And I think if by telling the story of the broadcasters who told the story of the servicemen, we have greater respect for the people in the military and greater appreciation of what they went through so that we have this freedom we have today, that's an afternoon well spent for me.
This Sunday, April 24th, 2 o'clock at the Armory, the American Legion Memorial Building at 201 Poplar Street here in Atlantic. The presentation called From the Battlefield to the Homefront, Iowa Broadcasters Go to War. Jeff Stein will be the presenter. Jeff, thank you so much for your time. Good luck with the program.
I appreciate the conversation greatly. Look forward to making the trip.